Well, hello there and welcome. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie getting underway here on EWTN Radio. I am Jerry Usher along with Debbie Giorgiani and the show team. That would be Michael, Jeff, and Rich. And you are the key member of all of it, the Take Two family. And Debbie, don't look now, or maybe parents should look now, because it's almost time to go back to school.
School is starting for this 2021-22 school year. And we're talking about that today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. It's back to school. Are you prepared? Masks, no masks, social distancing. How about that hand sanitizer? Do you have all your school supplies? Are you ready to go? What's going to be your routine? Is it in person, a hybrid school year? What's it going to look like? Are you prepared? Are you ready? It's back to school time. That's what we're talking about today on Take Two. So please join in and share with us. We like some really helpful tips just to get going. We journey together. That's what the Take Two family is all about. So please, Rich is ready to answer your call at 833-288-3986.
A lot of questions surrounding back to school this year, like there were many last year as well. And maybe, like Debbie said, maybe you're planning to have your kids back in person. What are your thoughts about having your kids actually in front of a teacher again? How do you think that's going to be better for them maybe than, say, being on Zoom or not being in a classroom last year? 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Prepared for back to school? Let us hear about it.
Well, I understand that some classrooms, especially at the elementary level, Jerry, some have the plexiglass that is partitioned in between the desks of the students. Some don't. Some are requiring masks. Some aren't. They're still doing online learning and then in person. The teachers are getting ready because they are going back into the classroom and they have to be prepared. Parents are wondering, is this going to continue all year long with a steady school year? Or are we going to, be having to homeschool our kids? School supplies, I understand, Jerry, there's a shortage of school supplies. I just heard that from the news broadcast this morning and yesterday. They said you better be prepared to get those the backpacks you want and the sneakers and all the stuff you want pretty much early or online, because it's going to be you may not get your favorite lunchbox or something. So that's what they were saying. They say you may have to pick something you don't like.
Oh, you're bringing back memories, Debbie. I remember the lunchboxes.
Did you have a lunchbox? Did you have one of those metal ones? Or did you have like...
That was one of the metal ones. You set it down, undo the clasp, and open it up, and there it is.
You did?
Yeah.
That's so sad. I mean, so sweet. I mean, no, I'm just teasing. When I went to school, we started to have the soft-sided ones.
Oh, okay. Right, sure.
Yeah, yeah. But because the metal ones, if your parents washed it out, it got kind of rusty. It was gross.
Yeah, over time, especially where I lived, in the coast of Washington State, where it rained almost all the time.
Yeah, you probably had water in your lunchbox. Ew, that's the soggy sandwiches. That's not good. What was the character or the theme of your lunchbox?
I don't remember now. I really don't.
Batman, Superman.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember. Might have been sports. Probably something to do with sports. I would guess.
Oh, cool. Well, folks, we want to hear how you're getting prepared for this school year at 833-288-3986. Please weigh in and give us some thoughts about it, what you're praying about for your kids. I know there's a lot of questionable curriculum that's out there right now floating around, and parents are very worried if their kids are going to get, have things introduced to them maybe too early for them at their age level. So let's talk about everything. It's back to school, 833-288-3986.
Maybe you have made some changes in terms of where you send your kids to school. Debbie mentioned a lot of people who had to do homeschooling during the pandemic may continue to do so. Maybe you've decided to put them in a public school, a private school. So let's talk back to school here today, because as always, we say this on the show all the time, what you share is definitely going to resonate in the heart of somebody who's listening out there, and they might be thinking, wow, I hadn't thought of these things, and I'm not really that prepared yet. And teachers, we love to have teachers call in. So what is it going to be like for you going back, presumably, into the classroom. 833-288-3986.
Maybe you've started school already and you're in the classroom and you're possibly listening to Take Two, so you can't weigh in. You can always drop us a comment on social media. We're waving to you on YouTube and Facebook. You can text us. You can email us, take2@ewtn.com. You know, the Catholic schools, Jerry, they've been going pretty much throughout the pandemic, which is really wonderful. So maybe if you go to Catholic school, you can share with us how that feels, that you're just continuing on. You know, some of your friends are maybe in public school and they're sharing, well, what do we do? You know, what does it feel like? We want to hear everything. So please think about it for just a minute and then call in. Don't wait till the end of the show, please. We're counting on the Take Two family to make this a very, very, you know, good, productive, healthy discussion, very, very robust discussion about back to school. 833-288-3986.
And well, we're inviting certainly parents to call and teachers. And parents, what's the disposition? What is the outlook for your on the part of your kids? Are they excited? I bet they're probably excited to be going to be back in the presence of their friends, you know, that they probably missed very badly during the pandemic year. So give us a sense of the thoughts on the part of your kids and how they're thinking about and feeling about going back to school in person. Or maybe, like we said, it's going to be a hybrid, maybe online. 833-288-3986 is the number. 833-288-EWTN.
Okay, Jerry, you cut out there just a little bit, so I'll give the number again, 833-288-3986. And I agree, Jerry, you know, it's, you know, what's it going to feel like this year, you know, with the mask mandate and stuff like that? What, you know, if you have little ones that are in, you know, kindergarten or first grade, are you teaching them how to put on the mask, take off the mask, keep the mask clean? You know, how do you do that? That's something that we didn't have to worry about when our kids were small. I mean, that's a really tough thing. A lot of kids are complaining that it's hard to wear that mask all day long. Let's talk about everything, folks. This is where we look at ourselves, the world around us. We learn something, we grow a little, and hopefully we get a little closer to God. We'll weave it into our spirituality. But call in. We need to hear from you at 833-288-3986. And when we come back, we're going right to the phones to hear what you have to say about getting prepared for school.
Well, we love having you with us, listening, and we love even more having you calling in and participating with your takes here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, talking about back to school today and all things related to that. Kids being back around other kids, being in person, doing activities with their kids. We're talking about masking up. Are they going to have to mask up? The plexiglass things, all kinds of things we're talking about today. And before we go to the calls, I want to mention with EWTN News Vatican Bureau, you can watch all of the important events from Rome, even if you don't have TV access. Using the latest technology, we made it possible to watch the latest news from the Holy See, all delivered directly to your home via live streams. From Rome to your home, the EWTN Vatican Bureau brings you the coverage you won't want to miss. Watch live on EWTN YouTube and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Nice. Very nice. Okay, we have a couple open phone lines, so if you would like to weigh in and give us maybe some really useful tips about back-to-school supplies, where we can get them, you know, how is it? I mean, I'm not back in school, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm representing all of us who are going back to the school year. Because you're thinking that way, you know. The memory is so strong from every year. You know, you get ready for school. Well, how are you getting ready for school? That's what we want to find out here on Take Two. So please fill those empty phone lines that are just sitting there waiting. It has your name on it, right? So if you feel prompted by the Spirit, now's the time to call in. 833-288-3986. And Gina is first up here on a Take Two from Rochester, New York, listening on the station of the cross. Hi, Gina.
Hi, good morning. Wonderful to hear both of you. I'm calling today because of deep concern about what's happening in New York State, as well as other states, with critical race theory, with sex education in kindergarten and first grade. But the backpack situation and the school supplies in New York, we haven't had an issue, but my children were taught, so I have grandkids, five of them before and in the public school system. And we just use from 1 year to the next until it dies, and then we buy something. So I would encourage parents to, number one, reuse what you had for last year, clean it up, make it useful, make it your own, stickers, whatever, and not worry about that additional expense. Typically, if you go through the house, you can find pens, paper. There's usually more school supplies than you ever had to use in the previous year. So that's the first comment. Second comment is don't hesitate to move your children to a different school. My daughter, Daisy, who has a four-year-old and a seven-year-old, they are both going to Catholic school this year in Poughkeepsie because what's happening in Dutchess County with the CRT and the sex education curriculum for kindergartners is really disturbing, incredibly disturbing. We have Moms for Liberty. The parents are organized. We're hitting the Board of Education meetings. We're making our objections known, but they're going to do whatever they want because Governor Cuomo is going to insist on it, especially when it comes to this vaccine mandate. So I would encourage parents to have the courage to either homeschool or get them into a private school. I don't care if you have to take a second job, but figure it out because your children are going to be harmed by being in the public school system in New York State. I can tell you that for sure. So I think it's important that parents understand the sacrifice they may have to make. Be willing to do it. Be courageous. Fight for your children and stop the indoctrination that's happening, especially in New York. And just be willing to follow God's will in getting your children the best truthful education that you possibly can.
Right, Gina. Thanks so much for your call. It's always been important in every age for parents to be vigilant about what their students are learning. They bring home their workbooks and school books and so forth. Parents should be combing through those to see what is in there. But especially in our day and age, like you said, there now with the sex education even being taught to the youngest minds and hearts, so those very formative years for our kids. And so you're very right about that. Obviously not everybody can put their kids in Catholic schools. I appreciate your encouragement and your exhortation to parents to do that, and I would definitely echo that as well. But I think the important thing that has to happen if that's not available, and I mean, even in some Catholic schools, we hear that, you have to look at the curriculum sometimes. But, parents, I just think vigilance is the answer. Vigilance is absolutely the answer for parents who are concerned about what their kids are being taught in their schools.
Yeah, it's St. Mary's where I am, and in many of the parishes around New York, they're getting sponsorship. Maybe people whose kids have been graduated, they're getting sponsorships for those Catholic education dollars. And that's been working out really well.
Right. I completely agree with what Jerry was saying about the parents just really combing through the curriculum, getting involved, signing up as homeroom parents, being there at recess, being involved in the schools. And Gina, you mentioned your particular state, New York, but it's happening in other states as well. We had very questionable and disturbing curriculum floating around here in the state of Arizona. The parents showed up in droves and really voiced their objections and really wanted to be heard, and it made a difference. And that's important. I think if parents do stick together and show up at these meetings and different events that happen, that they determine the forward movement for our children, we should have a right to say something. We should be there to say something as parents and grandparents. So I agree with you, Gina. It's happening across the board, though, and it's going to take for parents to really step up and just have their voices heard without the fear, because that's the problem of some parents don't want to cause any problems. They don't want to have any difficulties for their kids. And that's understandable. But like you said, Gina, have a plan B, be ready to homeschool, ready to move them to private school. Absolutely. Any last comments, Gina?
I just want to encourage parents to really understand what sacrifice and courage represent, and to not be afraid. God will guide you into where your children need to be. He's provided for our family in abundance. Do not be afraid. And thank you for your work. And thank you.
Well, thank you, Gina. And this gets at the most important thing that a parent has to do in their entire lifetime when they have children. They are being entrusted with God's little images. They are made in the image and likeness of God. Baptism, you know, they put on the white garment and, you know, they're exhorted to, you know, take that unstained into heaven. And obviously we all sin in our lives, but there's no need why it has to be just grossly, and I think in some cases demonically exacerbated, you know, the influences that our kids are exposed to these days. So
absolutely.
Thank you, Gina, for the call. Appreciate
Thanks,
that
Gina.
Very much.
Yeah. Jerry, we have open phone lines. What's up with that on Take Two? Come on, you guys. They're probably shopping for back-to-school supplies.
It could be.
I'm sorry I insulted you about your little metal lunchbox. I'm sure it was very nice. Could you maybe see if you can grab a picture? Your mother left you a ton of pictures. Maybe you have a picture of you carrying that lunch.
I don't have a picture of that, no.
You don't? Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I thought she left you like tons of pictures. You never know. You might see you walking to school with that little lunchbox. But we want to hear from you. Please fill those phone lines and give us some just really helpful, you know, hints and tips and advice for starting this school year, just like Gina did, at 833-288-3986.
All right, Hazel is calling from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Hazel. Good to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you. What I have is not nearly as serious as the previous caller, but I, as a former teacher, saw this the other day on Facebook. It was a recommendation for preparing your kids to go back to school, and I thought it was wonderful, and several of my friends have as well. The thing is, parents always want to have their kids, I'm talking the very early years, kindergarten, first grade, that kind of thing. The parents always want them to know their alphabet, know their colors, and all those things. But teachers, that's their job, to teach them those things. What the parents need to do is to teach their children how to zip up their coat, how to put their jackets on, how to tie their shoes. When they open their lunch boxes, as you said, and by the way, I took my lunch to school, and I'm going to tell you, it was in a brown bag. It was not in a box. That's how old I am. But anyhow, going back to this, parents forget. They do things for their children. They just automatically do them. But when the kids get into a classroom and the teachers have 12, 15, 30 kids in a classroom, it's hard for them to put all those little straws in those on those juice things, you know, the little bag kind of thing. They have to take the straw that has a pointy end and put it in. Kids don't know how to do that. And all the teachers have to go around and do it for multiple kids. It takes a lot of time. And I think parents need to be more cognizant of what their kids' skill levels are for just participating in a big group so that an adult doesn't have to zip up their jacket or make sure they get their right arm and the right, you know, sleeve kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? There were a lot of other things mentioned, but I can't think of them right now.
Hazel, you're a former teacher. You would be so proud of me. That's exactly what I did with both my boys when they were little. Exactly. I used to role play and we would practice how to tie shoes, how to sit down at lunch and, you know, open up your lunchbox and then to wrap everything up and to throw the parts away that are going to go stale or whatever. And then just, you know, clean out your lunchbox and to put your coat on and to zip up your pants. And to do everything, you know, just I did that over and over again for that exact reason, Hazel. I thought to myself, if I was a little kid sitting in a room of 25, you know, other, you know, children, and let's say my shoes became untied and I'm staring at them, I would be embarrassed to raise my hand and say, teacher, can you help me tie my shoe? So I was trying to think like a kid would think, and I practiced with my kids. They were so good at it, Hazel. You'd be so proud.
Well, then you can expand on what I just said, because I saw this a couple of days ago. And I thought, I reposted it, and I had a number of responses. That's a great idea. And a couple of teachers said, oh, if more parents would do that. So I commend you for doing it. And maybe you can expand on some of the things that I can't remember was in this email. I mean, this Facebook post. But it really would help, you know, for parents to do that with their children and make them more independent in that sense, you know.
Right. So. Independent. Perfect word, Hazel. And, you know, here was one thing that used to drive me crazy. My kids would come home with other friends from school, and their backpacks would be filled with half-eaten sandwiches that were going, you know, bad, and the smell was terrible and everything. And so I taught my kids early, you know, if you didn't finish, you know, you're not going to be able to bring that turkey sandwich with mayonnaise home. Okay, you need to wrap it up and throw it in the garbage so it's not in your backpack. And so my kids were so good at it that they taught their friends as well. But that's so true. It's a great what you said, Hazel. It's perfect. The independence, they need to know how to make it and survive in the classroom on their own. They've got to rely on their own senses and their own, you know, what they've learned from home. And I so agree with you, Hazel. You are awesome. What do you think, Jerry?
Can't agree any more than you know, can't agree more with what you had to say and Hazel had to say as well. I just, as you're talking, it just reminds me of the very, you know, sensitive souls that many of our young kids have, and in terms of their self, you know, identities, self-perception, all of this is being developed at such a young age. Like you said, Debbie, if they get kind of embarrassed by something in class, and I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, that's going to make them a criminal later in life or anything like that, but I'm just saying these are the years when they do really want to be equal to their peers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so if there are circumstances that prevent or, you know, for, you know, keep them from doing that, that's going to be a difficult situation.
Right, right.
But, you know, may I, the thing is, parents do those things for their children because it's quicker and easier. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that the children would be embarrassed simply because they're used to someone taking care of them, and the teacher becomes then the surrogate mom at that point. Mm-hmm. So it's important for parents to take that initiative. So I appreciate being able to share this. I thank y'all much, and I enjoy your show.
Oh, thank you,
thank
Hazel.
You.
No, that was great. We're so glad you called in. And thank you for being a teacher and shaping young minds. We love our teachers, Hazel. So thank you so very much.
Well, I'm retired, but I still think of myself as a teacher. You know?
Right, right. Oh, yeah. You'll always be a teacher. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, you just
y'all take care and have a good day.
God bless you, Hazel. Thanks for the call. She just taught the world. She's still a teacher. Way to go. Mm-hmm. We have some social media coming in. By the way, you can comment if you're watching the video stream on YouTube or Facebook for EWTN. You can post your comments there, and our social media manager, Jeff Burson, will get those to us. Valerie said she's watching on YouTube. Hello, Valerie. As a teacher, I am mentally preparing to go back to teach in August. I'm having to purchase spiral notebooks and plastic pencil boxes for my students. In my district, as a teacher, we only receive basics such as pencils and paper and textbooks. Teachers buy everything else we need or want. We are mandated to wear masks in school here in California, but no jab for me, she says. I'll be getting tested weekly, which is fine with me. It's a self-administered nose swab, or you may require a saliva test. So Valerie's making a really good point there, Debbie, and that is about how teachers put so much of their own resources into the supplies that they have to buy.
Absolutely. And, you know, my kids went to public school, and I just wanted to say this. I realized that right away when I used to see some of the teachers lugging in from their cars, bags from the local Target and stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, they're paying for this on their own. And so we would always go in, my other neighbors and friends, we would always go into the teacher and say, is there anything you need? You have a wish list for the class. Is there anything we can do to help? And I think that really does support our teachers. So we're talking about back to school today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. This is a great discussion. Please join us at 833-288-3986.
Remember, this is your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Debbie and I put a topic out there, float one out there for you. We provide a few comments in the opening of the show, and then you take it and run with it. And we're talking today about back to school. It's different dates for different states and counties and districts and all of that. Where I live, back to school is August 2nd. I believe that's Monday. So it's coming up just in a few days. So we're talking about, you know, what the thinking is, the thoughts are, your how the mood is with your kids about going back to school. They're probably excited about being with their friends again. How is it going to be different from last year? What are you thinking about all of the different possible regulations, masking, things like that? 833-288-3986 gets you on board to join the program.
Okay, so we have to go back to YouTube because this is brilliant. Can I share it? I think it's absolutely brilliant. So I hope EWTN Religious Catalog is listening right now. Michael J. just sent this message in and said, Jerry and Debbie, what was the coolest lunchbox you had in school? Idea for EWTN Religious Catalog, an EWTN lunchbox with Mother Angelica on the front, of course. I don't know if they have that, Michael, but that is brilliant. If they don't, I think that's brilliant. I would love that.
Yeah.
I would totally carry a Mother Angelica lunchbox.
What a great way to get the word out there about EWTN. Yeah.
Yeah, that is brilliant. I hope they're listening, Michael. And Shirley has a message for Gina, our first caller. Shirley says, I'm from New York and I was praying to get an answer. Thank you, Gina. My kindergartner and second grader will go to a Catholic school, but today I have to decide if continuing to pay or send them to a public school. So Shirley is discerning, and Gina may have very well helped her with that. So thank you, Gina. Thank you, Shirley.
Okay, 833-288-3986. Going back to your phone calls. Ann is in Detroit listening on Ave Maria Radio. Hello, Ann. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Go right ahead. I'll do it myself. I'm a former early elementary school teacher. So this subject is near and dear to my heart. I missed the beginning of your show. So I just thought I'd call in with a couple ideas. I've always wanted to write an article or some kind of newsletter about the first day of school, and there's so much to say, so I'm trying to put it in a nutshell. Is that okay? Yeah, I have a couple things I want to talk
sure.
about. One of the things that early out, now this goes to apply mostly to early out, is using glue.
Ann, we're having a little trouble hearing you. Are you on your phone there, or are you on Bluetooth or something? Did we lose Ann? Yeah, it was a bad connection, I think. It couldn't make. Ann, please call back because we really were looking forward to what you had to share. 833-288-3986. That's technology sometimes.
Oh, I know. And so just so if you're listening, Ann is a former teacher and she had some great ideas for us. So Ann, if you're listening, call back. Rich will put you right in as soon as we're finished talking to Howard in Indiana. Sirius XM 130 is the way Howard's listening. Hi, Howard. Welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention, well, number one, my lunchbox was Huckleberry Hound. But anyway.
Oh, good.
I wanted to talk. I was a substitute teacher this last year during the COVID epidemic, and I substituted about 58 times. I'm a retired Marine. I substituted all the way from kindergarten all the way up into high school, and I really enjoyed it. The kids were great, especially from kindergarten all the way up to sixth grade. And then after that, sometimes the kids seem to want to blame the situation of the COVID on the fact that they weren't learning, and we were online, some were online, some were not, some were half online, half back in school. And there was a situation in high school where I overheard a student talking to another student, and we had a lot of people who were doing well, and he said, well, if I fail, it's not my fault. And I said, wait a minute, you got that wrong. I said, it is your fault. You can get help if you want help. Talk to your teacher, talk to your parents, talk to somebody. And I just felt sometimes that we were letting the kids off the hook, letting them blame the situation. And granted, it wasn't easy going to school with a mask on, and it wasn't easy going through that situation, but they just needed to make sure the students understand you still can do it. You can still learn. You just have to try. But a lot of them just decided to be lazy and not try. And I just encourage all the parents, don't let the students be a victim. Don't let them claim that there's certain that, you know, that COVID or the mask or is causing them not to learn, because it is still their responsibility to do it. And that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, thank you, Howard, for first of all, for your service to our country. Thank you so much for defending our freedoms. We always like to acknowledge military men and women when they call the program, and also teachers. Debbie is always quick to say teachers and nurses will have a special place in heaven. So thank you for what you're doing. And yeah, it's hard enough to get kids to dig in and study and learn nowadays, as it is, you know, because they've got so many things going on in their lives. They have distractions. They have their phones sometimes and things like that. You throw in the distance learning, and you're right, Howard. I think that can give them an out, maybe a reason, an excuse to say, well, you know, it was the circumstances kept me from learning or whatever. Debbie was involved in religious education for decades. I'm recently involved in helping out in my parish, and I can just cite my example of last year when they were on Zoom. We got time toward, you know, getting toward the sacraments, and we wanted to assess the kids and where they were, and it was nobody's fault. The teachers went to the wall for these kids, but a lot of them didn't know their prayers. They didn't really understand what the sacraments were, and so we had a real difficult situation in the parish, you know, deciding who was going to get, like, First Communion, for example, and which of them might not, you know. So I don't know, Debbie, you've got some thoughts to add to this, I'm sure.
No, that was actually a real good recent example that kind of, shares along the same lines as Howard. And Howard, I agree. I completely agree about this whole victim mentality, but let's face it, we have a large part of society right now is choosing to do that, to adopt this. Well, you know, you have to give this to me. You owe this to me. I'm going to take from you because I deserve it. It's a poor me. You know, that is a really bad place and an attitude and a disposition to have, because we're losing the ability to dream big, and we're losing the ability to have that passion and purpose and that drive and that intention to really strive to excel. We're losing that, but we have a whole society reinforcing that type of mentality. You know, I'm just going to sit on the couch and people will give me things. So I think that we have a huge problem, nationwide. And we really just have to be thinking about the future and instill those big dreams in our kids and tell them if they work hard, they can achieve. That's what America's all about. So we're right with you, Howard. And I just want to say, because I come from a big military family, thank you so much. I think we have 1, 2, 3, 3 or 4 Marines in our family. So Howard, thank you so very, very much for all the work you do and the service and how much you care about our youth.
Thank you, ma'am. And I just, I agree with everything you said and what he said. It's just in the parents, they're the primary teacher, whether it be mm-hmm. religious education or primary or whatever education. If they stay informed as to what their kids are learning and hold their feet to the fire, the kids will learn. But
right.
but the teachers can't make them learn when they're full of apathy. So anyway. That's all I have, ma'am, and I appreciate it, and I enjoyed your show.
Oh, thank you. Call us again. Thank you, Howard. We prayed to St. Anne because we wanted Anne to call back, and she did, Jerry.
Great. Isn't that exciting? Anne in Detroit. Sorry about that connection issue a moment ago. Anne, welcome back to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Thank you, Jerry and Debbie. Speaking of St. Anne, her feast day just came.
Mm-hmm. July 26th, yeah.
Yeah. I kind of have to be controlled here. I don't want to be too long-winded, but I have so much to say on the subject about early elementary students, and I think it really does help quite a bit. So I'll just try to breeze through it so I'm not taking up too much time, if that's okay.
Sure, go ahead and get started, yeah.
Okay, not to pontificate, but so many parents invest and worry about college and the future. But really, the future is first grade, second grade, the early elementary, even lower L. It's so important to invest at that time because they found that students who do well in the very beginning usually succeed, and the students who don't often don't. Not that it's not possible to change, but it makes such a difference. And you think about scholarships and investing and all the things parents do. If they would just invest in that time, even lower-income families, their students do so much better, and it pays off financially and emotionally, and it spares parents a lot of grief later. So I just wanted to mention that because that's something you just can't stress enough. But one of the things as an elementary teacher that students still deal with a lot is glue. I mean, they do projects. They still make things even though they're online. When they go back to school, they will be doing projects. And glue is such an issue to be nice and neat. Glue sticks are fantastic, but yet they still need to know how to use glue. They dry out. It kind of drives teachers crazy. They're always short on glue sticks and mm-hmm. don't live them correctly. So I just wanted to tell you that when the sales come with the after-school supplies, stock up and buy all those crayons for like a quarter of a box and all the glue sticks on sale. Use them for Christmas stocking stuffers when kids go back to school. They have new supplies. A lot of parents have done what I thought was very clever is baby's crayons for a quarter in September or October. And then at Christmas, if they pass out little supplies or little gifts or Valentine's Day, they can give out little boxes of crayons or supplies rather than Valentine's candy. And that was very helpful.
Wow. And let me ask you a question, because on that same line about the crayons and the markers and everything, we used to do this. We would go shopping and we'd all have a list and we would shop for our own kids and then we'd buy a duplicate of it. So if you needed markers, we'd buy a second set of markers, and then our neighbors, we would put it all in a container and we would give it to the teacher in case there were kids that showed up that weren't able to have those supplies or they needed supplies. Is that something cool to still do in the public schools? I mean, I know our teachers back in the day, they appreciated it so very much. And we never wanted to embarrass any other kids that maybe couldn't afford certain supplies. My kids went to public school. So what do you think of that, Anne?
Wow, without a doubt, that's fantastic. That is so fantastic. And there's so many children, too, then they don't feel badly that they don't have what they need. It not only helps the teacher, but I think it helps the student. Fantastic.
Right. Well, what was happening was the teachers were actually buying it for the kids. And so we thought we would put together. So it was kind of a nice way to just help out the community and help our fellow neighbors and those that are in public school. So well, that's good to know. I like that. Anything else,
Anne? We are grateful for that as teachers on the screen. Well, I did want to mention earlier, a lot of parents don't realize those book bags are going to sell and they need to check the book bag every night. I'm saying this because you'd be surprised how many children come back with things in there that are weeks old and broken crayons and all kinds of problems. No wonder the homework isn't finished. No wonder the permission slip isn't in there because it never got in the hands of the parents.
Right.
So that really matters. Checking that book every night.
You'd be proud, Anne. I checked the book bags, backpacks, every single night, every time I cleaned them out, too, and just in case there was any little, like, you know, fruit snacks or something in there that was going bad. Can you tell I'm kind of,
even
yeah.
know what's going on. You know what to expect. And then the children know what to expect. And they're not the ones sitting there without their permission slip and, you know, having to be asked every day, did you bring it?
Right.
I find that
right.
you are a wonderful parent.
Oh, thank you.
It's kind of obvious because I listen to your show a lot. Another thing that I was hoping to mention is the calendar. When they're very young, usually they have a calendar routine every day. And when the parents go through it with them before they go to school, like maybe in the morning, not only does it make for good conversation, it lets the student know what to expect, what's for lunch, what kind of weather, and then they participate with the calendar, you'd be surprised how much confidence those students seem to have. They already kind of have an idea. They know the answers. They know which clouds to put up. It's very telling how much the parents work with them at home.
Right. Great contribution to the program, Anne. And I love what you said. You know, the future is in first grade, second grade. That's when they're going to learn the habits of self-discipline, study habits, and so forth. You know, school is not something to be endured. And I will say this, when we were in school, you know, every year near the end of the school year, we'd always say that that poem, you know, how does it go? 10 more days, spring has sprung, the grass has risen, 10 more days and we're out of prison, you know. And It was you know, it was just something that we endured. And I think today, you know, many kids view school as something that they have to do, but it takes them away from the real important things in their lives, their gadgets, their video games, their friends. You know, all of that stuff is okay to a point, but they really need to, you know, like you said, they need to be zeroed in and laser focused when they're in their classes. Otherwise, they're going to be at a huge disadvantage in life. I always tell my nephews and nieces, I say, get educated, get your education, whatever that is. If it's a, you know, a college degree, a vocational trade of some kind, get your education, because you're going to be way ahead of many of your peers if you do that as you go through life and start your career. So thank you, Anne. Appreciate you being with us.
It's kind of amazing how much people invest in their children's activities, like gymnastics or baseball, and they carpool everywhere, and they rush in, and they go through so much. But the payoff will really come more in academics. If they put that ahead of everything else, doesn't mean it's mutually exclusive. They can't do both. Right. I notice a lot of children are out late and overexhausted because they're running into all the activities, and the other parts of long-term more important are getting ignored.
Yep. Okay, Ann, great stuff again. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling the program. We appreciate that very much. We have Joseph and Heidi coming up in just a moment. I want to tell you all about the Miracle Hunter, Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on EWTN Radio. This week on the Miracle Hunter, Michael O'Neill delves into the fascinating world of miracles and more. This week, he welcomes author Leanne Tiemann, who wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul, the Catholic edition. That's on the Miracle Hunter, Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Eastern on many of these same EWTN radio stations.
Fantastic. Okay, we're going back to the phones, Jerry? Is that where we're going?
Yeah, let's do that, yeah.
Okay, Joseph. Joseph's on the road, is a truck driver. Hi, Joseph. Welcome.
Hi, I just tuned in your radio station, and I was like, okay, this is interesting. I'm ex-military, all family too, grew up on military bases. And just a couple of things I wanted to touch on real quick. You know, I think the Catholic schools right now are losing out on an opportunity. You know, they had dwindling enrollment for decades, you know, but now you have an opportunity here where parents are looking for something where they don't want their kids to be indoctrinated. They want their kids to have type of education and grow up for a certain thing. And the tuition that is there, I heard what you said about sponsorship and everything else like that, but the school tuition shouldn't be that high. And the teachers, I'm going to disagree with you on this for a little bit. No, any job you take, truck driving, whatever, you buy your supplies. A lot of these teachers nowadays are, you know, very young. They're right out there. They've been taught by a certain type of teacher in college. And a lot of these kids are being indoctrinated by these young teachers who don't. The best teachers we've ever had are the nuns and the sisters who actually loved their kids. And right now I can look at this and say, yeah, please don't tell me your love for children comes first, when actually it seems it's more of your agenda. And it seems to me a lot of teachers are putting their agenda in front of what the love is supposed to be for these little kids. And that's real quick, like I said, the only kids that I see that are transferring like crazy to Catholic schools are athletes. With these states closing and not having the sports available in public schools, these athletes are all going to Catholic schools because they know the Catholic schools are still going to have their sports programs. Right. I just think we need to have stronger leadership to say, hey, you know, we grew up in kindergarten knowing what's right and wrong. And it seems like the parents have gotten older and have forgotten that and scared to speak up and to protect the youngest and the most vulnerable. And for us to say, oh, yeah, we're going to put our kindergartners, our first grade, second grade, in with these certain teachers. And I know I'm rambling, but there's a lot of things there. I just believe, like, this union, these teachers' unions are not as all, you know, are not out for the best things for especially certain types of religious people. They're not out for our kids. They don't care that much. They want their thoughts and processes. I just wish there was a conservative Catholic union, the same way there was you know, in Vegas, when you broke up certain things, broke up casinos with unions, broke up truckers with unions, there should be a teachers that are like, you know what? I'm sorry, I'm a part of a teachers union, but I belong to the conservative teachers union. And that way you would...
Joseph, let me, for the sake of time, let me just jump in here. You've said so many things. You know, I think that the whole idea of people going to Catholic schools for athletics, that's nothing new. That's been going on for a long, long time. In fact, a lot of public schools. I remember when I was living in Portland, Oregon, I broadcast high school sports, and a lot of the city schools, you know, the public schools, would complain because they kind of looked at what the Catholic schools were doing as recruiting, because parents can send their kids to a private school if they want. So there's that one point there. But you're talking about, you know, the opportunity that the church has here, and it really is. It is a golden opportunity for the Catholic Church and parishes and dioceses to re-examine their commitment to the education of our youth. And one great example of that is, and Debbie, you'll know where I'm going with this, that's the Diocese of Wichita, Kansas. They call themselves a stewardship diocese. I'm sure others do too. But their whole point is they really ask and require their parishioners, not just parents of students, but all people, to be, you know, very, very generous in their stewardship. They promote that, they teach it, and they talk about giving free. And I believe all of the Catholic schools are free in that diocese, Debbie, if I'm not mistaken. So it can be done.
It can be done. And I just want to say, Joseph, I think a lot of Catholic schools and dioceses around the country are realizing that it's time for the Catholic schools to shine. And so they are aware of that and working on programs to help families. So that's good. The other thing I want to say, Joseph, real quickly, is I don't disagree with you on what we're seeing coming out of the news and the teachers' unions and stuff like that about agenda-driven things that are happening. However, I just want to say this because I have a lot of friends who are teachers, a lot. There are so many great, wonderful, loving, kind, compassionate teachers that are in that profession for the right reasons. They want the best for kids. They love them. It's amazing. So it's unfortunate that the spotlight is on all of these teachers that do have an agenda and are not exactly, you know, for the best interest of our children and the future and of our youth. But I just want to say there are so many great teachers, and it's similar to like the Catholic Church. You know, you can find a bad priest now and then, and people will say, well, I'm done with the Catholic Church. Well, you really can't do that, because you can't, you know, if you focus on that, then you can pretty much do that with anything, any profession, any entity, any organization, right? So I think we need to highlight the really good teachers and the really great priests. What do you
think,
Jerry?
Agreed completely. Mm-hmm. Joseph, thanks so much. We're going to get to Heidi real quick in Grass Lake, Michigan. We got about a minute and a half, Heidi, but we wanted to try to help you out. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. I love you guys, but I wanted to speak to the public school parents, because some of us do not have the options logistically to get our kids to a Catholic school. Mm-hmm. My children are living Catholics. My daughter sat out of sex ed class in high school, along with a Mormon kid and a Methodist kid, sitting in the hallway because we don't have sex before marriage. And we are counterculture, you know, with our faith. And I wanted to speak about a few years ago when she was in middle school, a shooter came to the school and they were put in a closet, and the Catholic kids led 30 kids in the closet in the rosary. And nothing came of the school shooter. So if you pull your Catholic kid out of public school, who's going to save all the other kids that aren't getting the message?
Well, wow. Yeah, Heidi, mm-hmm. That's a beautiful gesture on their part of heroism, actually. Mm-hmm. I would say that, you know, going to school to protect your classmates is not the reason that they go. And I don't know if that responsibility should be put on them. At the same time, like I said, it is absolutely beautiful and noble to see the way they responded in that situation. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, Debbie, I just...
But
I
they,
don't...
But but they can be a Christian witness in public school. And I do agree with you, Heidi. My kids wore a crucifix, and they would wear, they'd have medals. They'd bring medals to school all the time, to public school. So I do agree with that. We need to be there. Christians need to be out in the world, in the public square, out and about and involved. And we need to be strong Christian witnesses. Heidi, thank you so very, very much. God bless you. Joseph, again, thank you and the others. We're not going to get to anybody else, Jerry, but tomorrow is our very popular Unscripted show.
That's right. If you've not been able to get through or get on the air for any show recently, you can do that tomorrow. Unscripted is where you bring the topics to the program, and we talk about whatever is on your mind or in your heart on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Thanks, show team. Thank you, affiliates, for carrying the program. And we wish you a beautiful and blessed day. And in this year of St. Joseph, we ask for his continued prayers. St. Joseph, please pray for us. Amen.